Meeting is now being recorded.
Good day, everyone. This is Brenda speaking for the record. Welcome to RDS Who Is Two Plenary Call Number 33 on 9 July 2018 at 1500 UTC. Attending the call today is Dimitri, Lily, Erica, Susan, Alan, Chris, Stephanie. We have no observers at this time. From ICANN.org, we have Alice, Jean-Baptiste, Lisa, Steve, Amy, and Brenda. We do have apologies from Carlton and Volker, and Catherine and Thomas will be delayed today. I'd like to remind you today's call is being recorded. Please state your name for the transcript. And Alan, I'll turn the call over to you.
Thank you very much. And are there any changes to statements of interest? Hearing nothing, seeing nothing, we'll go on. And the agenda is posted. Does anyone have any AOB items they want to add? Again, nothing, then we will proceed. And if we can go to the first agenda item of the ICANN 62 debrief. This is going to be a packed meeting, I suspect, so we should try to be as brief as we can. We're going to review the items that were raised from the floor, some of which I'm familiar with, some of which I'm not. And in the case of the first two, these were raised, at least the first one was raised, one second. Yeah, this one is in relation to the filling in of the contact information for a domain that's suspended. And Susan, do you want to take that one?
Sure. Sorry about that. I was trying to plug in my computer. Hold on a second. So there was a little confusion on our recommendation, but it still stands that I think if we explain this a little bit more, that people will understand that if a domain name is suspended for inaccurate who is information, and maybe we add the criteria, has been involved in abusive behavior. So in some ways it was suspended for abuse, not inaccurate, but at least in my best practice, if I report it as abuse and it has inaccurate data, I make two different reports. That inaccurate data should not stay within the registration. So I think if we just sort of clarify our thinking there for the final report.
Thank you very much. Stephanie says she cannot hear anything, and someone else is also complaining. Brenda, is that under control? Dimitri also says he can't hear anything.
Hi, this is Brenda. I am working on a dial-out for Dimitri right now, and Stephanie, I can call you as well. The audio seems to be working for everyone else, so I'll call you, Stephanie.
Yeah, everyone else may be on the phone. It may be the Adobe Connect audio that isn't working. In any case, we'll proceed and have them catch up if necessary. Susan, wasn't this one where we were recommending that there be a new flag to say why it was on hold?
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe
new data.
Yeah,
you know.
maybe that needs to be wording clarified. The second one is the one where there was the, what I thought was a delightful rant from McKaylee. And I know Lily weighed in on this online, so we'll go to her in a minute. My understanding of the issue is no one is arguing that the overall recommendation is not reasonable. I think the only contention was the pronoun A, that is one single who is ticket, should be sufficient to trigger an audit, and that was the overall part that was being contested. But I'll turn it over to Lily if she can speak. Lily, okay.
Yes.
She's now, go ahead, Lily.
Lily's for the record. I replied to the mailing list of the review team this morning and regarding Michaelis' comments. So this recommendation is actually targeting the registrar who failed to show the proof they have fulfilled or implemented all the due validation or verification and which was exposed or discovered by the ARS project. So the rationale behind this recommendation is that I believe that will not be a standalone case. So it's not purely a single complaint. I reviewed the ARS project report carefully, and for the format errors, it's not even considered as a valid complaint according to ARS project. So only those who fail to validate or verificate the WHOIS data can be deemed as a valid complaint according to the WHOIS ARS project. So I believe there is still enough rationale to proceed with this recommendation. My only concern is that will it still be manageable by the compliance team? That's my only concern.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Lily. Are you saying that if there is an ARS WHOIS ticket raised, then that implies a pattern of failure, not necessarily a single failure?
The failure is not necessary to be implicated by a pattern. And if the registrar couldn't provide proof they have fulfilled the validation and the verification, then the audit will be triggered.
All right. Then I think we just need to be very clear in the explanation and in the preamble to the recommendation and the recommendation that this is not a single failure to have valid data, but based on a consistent pattern. So if that's the case, then I think we need to be more clearer in the description than it is right now.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe the text need to be revised and to be as precise as possible.
Yeah. Okay. How are we doing, Brenda, on sound? Do we have people on now?
We seem to be still having technical difficulties, Alan.
Okay.
We're trying. We're
okay, thank you. All right, let's go on to the next slide, please. I'm sorry, I didn't ask if anyone else wants to speak on that. I think we're finished. That we need to make sure the wording is does not imply that it's a single incident, but some level of pattern. And I don't see any other hands. The next one was the comments that DAR blacklist does not have any accountability, so we may not want to make reference to it. We did review this quickly on the leaders call the other day, and I think the consensus was that the DAR report, which relies on multiple blacklists, is something that ICANN is treating as serious, and I think we can therefore use it. I understand why some registrars may feel there's no accountability, but my understanding is ICANN believes this is an effort worth work that OCTO has put an awful lot of effort into, and my understanding is compliance may or may not be currently using it. But I don't think I have any problem because the blacklist independently may not have suitable accountability in the eyes of the registrar. Anyone else like to weigh in on this one? Steve, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Steve for the record. So I'm not John Crane, so I can't give you the deep and gory details of it, but I do know that compliance uses it as a tool and not as the rule. So it's just another tool in their toolkit to determine compliance or not. We do have specs that allow other people to recreate the DAR tool itself, depending on what their resources are, because we do pay for some of those feeds. But we're trying to be as open and transparent with this tool, with the DAR tool, as possible. We understand that lists are, you know, managed by other people. We have no control over those lists, and that's why we pull in as many as we can to help create a broader picture of what the internet is seeing, and then how we can parse that data out. So I guess in general, I agree with you.
The host has Alan. Left the meeting to speak with meeting support and will rejoin soon.
I agree with you, Alan, but I just wanted to be a little bit more clear on what it is, and that compliance doesn't use it as the authoritative method. It's just another tool in their box on how to determine whether compliance is in breach or not.
Right, thank you. And we may need to be slightly clearer that how compliance uses it as opposed to treating it as a ticket of a complaint on a specific domain or registrar. But I have no concern that I don't support the concern raised by the person in the audience. Any further comments on the DAR one? Next one is consumer trust. The comment says, the U.S. Federal Trade Commission has some useful information re the role of accessible Whois in protecting consumers and therefore promoting consumer trust. Erica, do you want to take that? You responded that something you're aware of. I'm not quite sure what we should be doing because of this comment. Is Erica with us? Erica is typing. Ah, Erica cannot hear us. All right. Can someone ask Erica in the chat, does she want to say anything about this one, or is she happy to discuss it when we do our face-to-face? Amazing, this technology is still as flaky as it is. Lily, please go ahead.
I noticed there was a comment that contactability was a goal of Whois One, and that the goal has been accomplished. So I replied to the mailing list today that regarding these comments, I believe there is an assumption behind these comments. The assumption is that the Whois data has association with the restaurant, but does this assumption valid? I doubt, yeah. So is this the provision that the assumption is valid? If the assumption is not valid, then contactability has no meaning for the Whois user cases.
Yeah, my understanding is if by contactability we mean we know we can contact the actual registrant, then I don't believe that is something that has been accomplished or are we trying to accomplish. I think at this point all we are trying to do is ensure that the information looks usable. There is no attempt at this point in the normal practice to actually verify that we can contact the specific registrant. Susan, do you have any further comment on that? I think that's something that you've been working on a little bit. If so, we may need to make sure that we're using words like contactability correctly. Lisa, please go ahead.
Thanks, Alan. In trying to follow the various comments that have been raised on this, I see there maybe is a disconnect. Some want to limit the discussion here to what the first Who Is When review team intended in their recommendation. And so Kathy's comment, both at ICANN 62 and I believe Volker's comments, have been around what the original Who Is review team meant in their recommendation and whether that was actually satisfied. But I think there is also the larger question of whether Who Is as it exists today meets needs. And this team needs to discuss and agree whether going beyond just validation to actually being able to contact the party you intended to reach is something that needs further addressing.
Okay, that makes some sense. And I guess if that is what we want to say, that would apply to data that is normally hidden from most observers under some future GDPR implementation, perhaps even more so because of that. So I think that's something that we're going to have to discuss. It would be nice if we can have some of that discussion prior to the face-to-face. We do only have 2 days, and I'm not sure if we're going to be able to cover everything if we don't do some work prior to that. So let's try to keep that on our to-do list to look at. I don't know if we want an action item or simply keep it in focus. And Susan says she agrees with Lisa, so let's go on to the next item then. Brenda, are we any better on sound? I see we have phone calls now for some people.
Yes, Dimitri and Stephanie can hear, and I believe Erica is not able to hear. I did do a dial-out and did not get an answer from Erica. If you have another number, please provide it privately, Erica. Thank you.
I presume you sent her that in a message because she can't hear you say it.
Thanks, Alan.
All right, next item is status of the various subgroups, and I'm going to turn it over, I think, to Lisa. But before I do that, I will express a significant amount of concern over the number of red X's we still have, specifically even at the subgroup level. We have, after this, I believe, if we have a meeting on the Monday preceding our face-to-face, which I believe we will, we have two more meetings, two plenary meetings before the face-to-face. And I'm starting to get a little bit worried that we have so many subgroups that are still not anywhere near complete. But I will turn it over, I think, to Lisa. Is that correct?
Sure, Alan. This is Lisa. I can take it.
Thank you.
So just running quickly through the list of subgroups and what we understand to be the next step. On strategic priority, there has been a draft out for a while to the subgroup for review and approval, but that still needs to be finalized and submitted to the full review team. It's not clear whether there are any changes necessary at this point or simply calling it a day and sending it on to the review team. There were no comments raised so far on that draft. For recommendation two, single Who Is policy, just prior to the ICANN 62 meeting, there was some discussion about the recommendation in that draft. And ultimately, we ended up removing the recommendation from the presentation for ICANN 62, in part because now that there is a temporary specification that's been adopted and it appears there will be an expedited PDP on RDF, that that subgroup's draft and recommendation really need to be updated to reflect the current status. Just pausing briefly to see if there are any comments.
No, I think that's accurate, and Carlton is not on the I think that's Carlton's, right?
Yes, that is Carlton.
And he's not on the call. But I believe that's the correct.
So I would suggest for that subgroup that we actually think about scheduling a call to get that work, that drafting work done in advance of the face-to-face meeting.
I encourage you to try to have that happen. Stephanie, you're asking a question, why that one and not the others? Are you talking about why updating it with regard to who GDPR?
I think she's asking why all subgroup drafts don't need to be updated. I would say that just in response to that specific question, that is the recommendation that produced the RDS PDP and so needs to track at least the changes to that RDS PDP trajectory, not to say that other subgroups may not have updates they wish to make.
Yeah, I think other subgroups either are already factoring it in if it's applicable or at least mentioning it, whereas that specific one says there is no single who is policy. And with the expedited PDP, by the time we deliver our report, there may well be very close to a single who is policy actually formulated. So I think that one is more applicable than others because of the that is exactly what that recommendation was saying. At least that's my take.
So, and this is a good example of why we need to have a call on this one to start fleshing out the impacts. Clearly, the full impact won't be known for the duration of this review team.
Yeah. Stephanie and Susan imply we don't know whether the PDP, APDP is going to be successful. That indeed is true, but all I was saying is we need to say that that's now the current state that it's at, just that we're cognizant of the work that's going on, not that we're predicting success or not.
All right, I'm going to move on to
please.
Recommendation 3, outreach. That, of course, is done to the full review team, and if there are any further concerns about that one, they'll be expressed during our face-to-face. Doesn't seem there's anything more that needs to be done on that currently. Recommendation 4, compliance. Of course, we've just touched on 3 recommendations that were affected by comments received at ICANN 62, and there was also a request for additional answers from ICANN organization that have since been received. So I believe the action is on Susan's plate to produce a new draft to address those.
Yeah, it is. All I can say is EPDP. Until we get this charter done, I can't focus. So hopefully end of week, and hopefully, get it out this weekend to the subgroup, probably, and see if we could, or maybe just to the whole group, but we could try to get the subgroup to focus on it.
And Susan, as always, if there's any help we can do in drafting, just let us know.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, it's Alan. I'm happy to have a subgroup meeting if we can squeeze one in and try to make sure that we're a little bit closer to where we want to be on this one.
All right. Recommendation 5 through 9, data accuracy. The recommendations themselves ended up in the compliance report, but, of course, the findings and analysis are in the data accuracy report, and so Lily's subgroup draft will be impacted by those comments at ICANN62 as well. So I believe that that action then is to Lilly to work in tandem with the compliance team to make sure those two drafts are in alignment.
Okay, and as I understood it from the details, we're not necessarily changing any overall intent, but we may need wording clarifications.
Correct. That brings us to recommendation 10, privacy proxy services. The draft that Volker put out just prior to ICANN 62 still does need closure from the subgroup itself. There was one comment raised during ICANN 62 on privacy proxy having to do with the conclusion that the recommendation had been implemented. I think it's just a question of what it means to have a completed implementation of the recommendation without completing implementation of the new policy, and maybe some clarifying text will help that.
Yeah, I had a little bit of – it was a little bit of fancy dancing to try to answer that, and I'm although I went into it feeling that our analysis was correct, I'm not 100% sure that we want to classify it as fully implemented if it is indeed not fully implemented. You know, ICANN has, you know, has done whatever it could under the board direction, but given the time it's taking, something may be, we may want to be a little bit less positive and sunny than we were. That reminds me, as I was doing the review of the slides on outreach, I had some trouble justifying how we said that, or how I said that outreach had been fully implemented when there had been no real outreach to non-ICANN groups. So I think we may want to revise that one as well. But I'll take that under my responsibility. Back to you, Lisa.
All right, so that leaves us at recommendation 11, common interface. Again, there is a draft out to the subgroup. The subgroup does need to reach some closure on it. I'm not aware of any outstanding comments on it, more just simply confirming there's agreement within the subgroup and sending it forward to the team. When Volker presented that recommendation at ICANN 62, he indicated the subgroup wasn't quite final on the wording of the recommendation, so I don't know if he had any reservations about that recommendation.
Thank you, Lisa. Back on 10 for a moment, do you feel we need a subgroup meeting at this point, or are we close enough that we can finalize the report and pass it on to the plenary? I got the feeling there was still some question about some of the recommendations.
Volker put out an update just prior to ICANN 62, and no one commented, so I don't have any foundation to answer that. I think the subgroup members need to respond to the list as to whether they're comfortable with the current draft or not.
Okay. Thank you. Back to you.
And I think the same holds true for common interface. There's a draft out there to the subgroup, and the subgroup really needs to indicate whether they're pretty comfortable with the draft as it is or there needs to be further work. For IDNs, that one's reached closure and gone to the full review team with a minor update recently. But no further work that I'm aware of on that draft. For plan and annual report, there were some concerns raised about the recommendation. I know that ICANN organization was asked to provide some additional briefing materials, and it's my understanding that might be happening towards the end of this week. Can anyone else from ICANN organization on this call confirm that?
Alice or Jean-Baptiste? Or Lily, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
I saw Chris is on the call, and I remembered Chris flagged some his concerns regarding the findings or the recommendations. So since Chris is on the call, can you clarify a bit more?
And I know Catherine is now on the call. Chris, can you speak? I notice he's not on Adobe Connect. I don't know if he was before or not.
Okay, then I'll check with Chris offline.
Thank you. Someone from staff to clarify, did we have a formal query we put into ICANN, or is this just sitting in Chris's lap?
Hi, Alan. This is Alice. So we have received the request for clarification from Chris, and
Alice, you're very garbled. I can't hear make out what you're saying.
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, now I can.
Better?
Yes.
Okay, great. Sorry about that. I was saying, so we've received the request for clarification. I know the team is working on it, and we don't have an estimated delivery date at this stage, but we'll make sure to share that as soon as possible.
Thank you. I don't think we can wait a month on it. Back to you, Lisa.
Thanks, Alan. So depending on the response that's received, it might be appropriate to think about having a final subgroup call for recommendations 15 and 16 once that response is received, so the group can reach closure at least on draft text prior to our face-to-face. For anything new, there was a draft that went to the subgroup just prior to ICANN 62. There had been, I think, one action item embedded within it for Stephanie to provide some updated text, which ended up in the ICANN 62 slides that just needs to be factored back into the subgroup draft. And Stephanie, if there are any further edits that are needed to that draft, that would need to happen and then go to the full review team. And I see Stephanie is typing. I'll give her a second.
While we're waiting, if we can have an action item to send out to the whole review team to please review any of the documents that were sent just prior to the ICANN meeting. I know in my case I have not looked at any of those that came out just prior to the meeting. So perhaps a reminder to everyone to look at them would be warranted. And Stephanie says she'll try to put her edits in all sections this week.
Good, thanks. So that brings us to law enforcement needs. I don't know if Thomas has joined us yet.
Thomas
doesn't look like he has.
Thomas isn't, but Catherine is.
So perhaps I could ask Catherine if there's been any further movement on finalizing the survey for that one.
No, there hasn't yet. I'm sorry. So we still need to finalize that. And send it out, and that is still pending some agreement between the groups, so we need to get together once more, and then we can hopefully send this out in the very near future.
Yeah.
As of now, no news to report.
Okay. We were hoping to have answers back by the time we met, and that's a little over two weeks away from now, so I guess I'm starting to get a little bit antsy on that one. But,
yeah. No, I agree. I mean, I think I'm really struggling, and as of now, I understand so are the others. So that's been a bit of a challenge for us. But indeed, it needs to get out as soon as possible. And the question is just whether we try to in any way still assess the status quo ante, the changes, or whether we really focus on the impact now, which in a sense would be my preference. And then add a couple questions on the actual changes.
Right. Okay. Back to you, Lisa.
So just to reach closure on law enforcement, that sounds like we're going to have a subgroup call as soon as feasible to try to close on the survey and get it launched.
We should certainly try to do that, yes.
And, of course, the subgroup draft there is lagging, but the survey, getting the survey launched takes priority over updating the subgroup report to say that something is planned and not yet done. For consumer trust, we had the one comment from ICANN62 that Erica might take a look at some of the U.S. FTC material on the definition of, the role of who is in protecting consumers. And Erica had indicated in chat she would reply in email, I believe. but that draft, there was a draft just prior to ICANN62, and it is awaiting some response from that subgroup to try to bring that to closure. In particular, there was a new recommendation in that draft that the subgroup should really take a hard look at and see if they have some agreement.
Okay, thank you.
And then, of course, safeguarding registration, registrant data has already been submitted to the full review team. I think we marked this as agreed in the subgroup but not within the review team simply because we hadn't had that level of discussion within the review team yet.
Yeah.
Not that there are any known issues.
Yeah, if on the reminder we can perhaps include that one as well, because I don't think there were any comments from the review team. Perhaps Volker made one, but I'm not sure.
All right, and back to you, Alan.
All right, then next slide. And the face-to-face meeting. Just give me a moment, please. Before we talk about the face-to-face meeting, let's talk for a minute about the email I sent out, because it's sort of linked to this item and the past item and the ones going forward. And that is, there was a suggestion during the last leadership call from Catherine, I believe, that our plan at this point is to have the draft report out sometime in early August following the July meeting in Brussels, and to keep it open for about 2 months, and that was what is in our work plan. Closing it in early October, we would have the summary of the comments done just about by the time we got to the ICANN 63 meeting in Barcelona. And originally we were not planning to have an engagement session, but we certainly could have an engagement session in Barcelona, and we also could meet individually with ACs and SOs if they wish. The suggestion was made that we should keep the public comment, that we should have an engagement session and keep the public comment open for that period and perhaps a week or so afterwards to allow people who might not have read the draft report but came to the presentation to submit comments formally into the public comment. And the implication of that is the public comment would be open almost a month longer, and that would delay the final report probably to the end of January instead of the end of December. The other implication of it is, since a three-month public comment is perhaps a bit excessive, we might have a little bit of time in August, in early August, despite vacations, to clean up the report and put it in perhaps better shape than it might be just immediately coming out of Brussels. So I'd like to have a little bit of discussion about, do we want to consider this, that is specifically an engagement session in Barcelona and keeping the public comment open for it, which implies a delay of the entire project by perhaps a month, still well within reason and well within our budget year. I'd like to open the floor. Anyone have any thoughts? Catherine, it was your original suggestion. You may want to weigh in, and I know Susan has in the past indicated she really did not want to delay this project anymore. The other implication of this is with the EPDP starting, and some of us may be involved in that, a little bit of breathing room in parallel may be a good thing. I'm not sure. Catherine, go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Alan. I mean, the idea just stemmed from the fact that I've seen on other review teams, or really the only one I've closely followed was the one on consumer trust, consumer choice, and competition, that there was an engagement session after the draft report had been published and before the final report was issued. And if we don't do an engagement session in Barcelona, we would be missing that opportunity. But, of course, I do see the practical issues around it, so that was the only reason why I proposed it, and I think that's the only argument that can be made for delaying the closing of the public comments, because, of course, it wouldn't make so much sense to have an engagement session either just after the comment period has closed, because then we would not yet be in a position to really say anything as to the comments because we haven't had time to review. Or once the comments have really been integrated and we're just presenting our final report. So that can also be our approach. And then we just choose that any comments in our report will be in written form, and that there will not be any substantive discussion on the substance of the report in any ICANN public meeting, which is also fine. But it's just the choice that we should make, and that's why I raised the question of whether we should consider having an engagement session and leaving the comments open so that we have possible further oral feedback.
Thank you, Catherine. As you were speaking, it dawns on me that even if we just have engagement sessions with individual ACs and SOs, we'll still be in the same situation, that any feedback will not have come during the public comment period. Now, we won't have processed it, so we can still take note of them and discuss them, but it's not quite as formal as actually being submitted. Susan, you have any thoughts on this one? Specifically on the implications of delaying the whole thing, and is that something we can live with and to make a better report with an engagement session or to keep to the current schedule?
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine. It's just we need to delay things to have a thorough report. I'm fine with that. I do think engagement sessions are helpful. I was actually surprised that, you know, the session we did in Panama being the last session of the whole week, and we had quite a good turnout. So I was being pessimistic about that, and so I was happily surprised. So if we need to move things around, I'm fine with that.
Okay. Yeah, I was rather surprised also. The last engagement session I did for a specific review, we had very few people other than the review team in the room. So that was positive. Scheduling nothing against it probably does help. Okay, it sounds like we may well be willing to delay the public comment open later, have an engagement session, and that implies we also have a little bit more flexibility in terms of completing the report by later than just early August. And that's something we can discuss perhaps at the face-to-face and decide, see where we are at that point, and we do have that option open to us. So maybe we can have a note for staff to add that to the face-to-face meeting, which is where we are right now in the agenda. Well, you've just skipped to the next one, I think. So any other comments on the face-to-face? We're scheduled to meet in about 2.5 weeks. Don't think we have started working on at least not publicly working on an agenda for the meeting, but I'm assuming Alice and Jean-Baptiste are starting to pull one together, and we'll have one soon. And note that the first composite draft of the report has been sent out. I haven't looked at it yet. Anybody have anything to add with regard to the face-to-face? Do we know that everyone who is attending the meeting has tickets and such ready, and that we are We don't have any problems lurking there. Lisa, please go ahead.
Thanks, Alan. I'm actually responding to your observation that a first draft of the composite report has been sent out. I should note that the sections that have been filled in are those that were finalized and sent to the full review team. We have not populated the subgroup sections that are still in churn. It makes more sense for you all to be able to edit your own document individually instead of editing the very large document. But once you reach that stage of finalizing and sending to the full review team, we will fold that into the very large draft report.
Thank you. Calling it a very large report worries me a little bit, but I'll keep that to myself.
It worries me as well, but just acknowledging the reality.
Okay. We will have to think about what we do for executive summaries and such, with the understanding that many people only read that. Any further comments on the face-to-face? At this point, who are we going to be missing from the face-to-face? That's a question for staff. We know Catherine cannot be there in the last half of the last day, and we're going to try to make sure that we've covered as much as possible before then. Alistair Jean-Baptiste?
Excuse me, this is Brenda, and I'll just respond that I do not see flight arrangements for Erica yet. However, Susan, Alan, Carlton, Lily, Volker, Lisa, and Chris all have their arrangements. Dimitri is not able to attend. So,
okay.
Erica, and I believe Stephanie, are you able to attend?
Stephanie had said she was going to attend. Erica, I don't remember if she was still a maybe or when we moved the meeting it was okay for her. I think it was okay for her. She's no longer on the call apparently, though.
Correct.
All right. If I could have an action item for staff to confirm with everyone and find out the status just so we know who is going to be there and who isn't. And if we can go on to the next slide.
Can you
slide,
hear me?
Please.
Can you hear me?
Next few slides.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Stephanie.
Okay, good. I'm coming to Brussels.
Excellent. Thank you.
All booked.
Excellent. And we are now on slide 12, Barcelona. And I think based on the previous discussion we just had, I think we will request a face-to-face high-interest session on engagement presentation of the draft review. And I believe we probably want to send out a message to ACNSO chairs saying we will be having a face-to-face engagement session, but if they would like to do something privately within their own ACNSO, then we are willing to meet with them as well. Any further comments? I do not believe at this point we are considering a formal face-to-face meeting at ICANN 63 for the same reasons that we weren't considering it earlier, and I don't believe, in fact, we will need one at that point. We probably should be talking about scheduling a face-to-face in the November timeframe to try to finalize or review the results of the public comment, but we're going to have to look at a new timeline, assuming we keep the public comment open later. So I don't think that needs to be done today. Any further comments? I thought this meeting was going to run over. At this point, we're going to be ending early. And we may choose to use it to talk about some substance. Any further comments on Barcelona? Seeing nothing, hearing nothing. We will go on to any other business. And given that we have pretty good turnout here, Lisa, is there anything that you think we might be able to productively use this time for on any of the substantive topics? I'm putting you on the spot with no warning, I know.
Thanks, Alan. This is Lisa for the transcript. I'm looking at who we do have on the call. We're missing Carlton, so we can't have the discussion on recommendation two. We are missing Thomas, and Catherine, I know, may need to leave early, so we can't do law enforcement. Those would have been the two most pressing.
And, of course, Volker's too.
Right. I have to reluctantly say no. Probably we don't have the right cast of people to address the
All right. Is there anything anyone else? Thank you, Lisa. Is there anything else anyone wants to raise? Then, surprisingly, I will call this meeting formally to an end and ask somebody to review the rather extensive list of action items that we have.
Thank you, Alan.
And decisions reached.
Happy to do so. Yes. So, on decisions reached, so all of the subgroups that have not yet submitted their report to the review team are asked to review the latest draft and indicate to the subgroup whether they agree or have further comments to be addressed. On ICANN 63, there will be no face-to-face meeting before or during the meeting, and there might be an engagement session with those present. An invitation will be sent to SOAC to see if they wish to schedule time separately from the engagement meeting. And then in terms of action items, so there were several ones related to the engagement session at ICANN 62, one on recommendation 4.3, Susan, to clarify this recommendation to indicate how data would be updated. On recommendation 4.7, Susan and Lily, to clarify this recommendation to indicate the audit would apply only in cases where there is a pattern of failure to validate as required by the RAA. On recommendation 4.8, Susan, to clarify that the DAR blacklist is but one source of input, not considered authoritative. And Lily, to work in collaboration with subgroup recommendation for compliance to make sure that both subgroup reports are in alignment following the comments received at ICANN 62. ICANN also sent another reminder to the review team to review the subgroop reports that were sent prior to ICANN 62, and just a reminder that the latest versions are available on the wiki. On recommendation 2, a subgroup call to be scheduled to update draft and recommendation to reflect recent events. Schedule a Who is One recommendation for subgroup call after Susan produces the new draft addressing ICANN 62 comments. On recommendation 15-16, schedule a subgroup call after ICANN provides further responses. On law enforcement needs, schedule a subgroup call ASAP to finalize and launch the survey. And finally, ICANN to contact and confirm status of participation to face-to-face meeting number 3.
And if you could add an action item for me to revise or to review the conclusions on outreach.
Sure.
And decisions reached, please.
Beg your pardon?
Decisions reached. I don't think we...
I studied with that.
You did? All right. I'm not paying attention. I was watching someone type. I wasn't listening to what you were saying. All right. Thank you. Any further comments before we adjourn the meeting? Then I turn a half an hour of your life back to you. Thank you all. Bye-bye.